Okay. All right. Welcome to the PMFA best practices call. So I'm Joel Smith, and I've got some stores in Iowa. And the purpose for our call is to have a place where restaurant leaders can connect and learn and share best practices to help owners work on our businesses and not just in it. And actually, that's going to be kind of one of our themes for today. And then number three, to share systems and strategies that drive profitability. And so today we're going to talk about how strong is your business awareness. So a little bit of time compartmentalization, and we're going to talk about the importance of spending time doing the right things, not just the most urgent things. But so with me, I have my co-host is Mickey Waters. So she's been a franchisee for 3 years, and she's got 8 stores in Oregon, and was a market leader for 11 and a half years. For PMI,
yeah, exactly.
PMI, yeah.
Exactly.
So how you doing, Mickey?
I'm very good, Joel. Thank you. Hope you had good. A good Easter.
Yeah, it's all good. So have any of you, this is a rhetorical question, so you don't have to raise your hand or chime in, but have any of you missed out on something that was really, really important that you wanted to or needed to share with your crew? Or maybe there's something you didn't know about that you missed out on. Maybe it's a marketing, maybe something on the marketing calendar, some changes or deadlines that came up that we needed to take care of or to be part of. And I think all of us probably have experienced that at times. I know sometimes I miss some things, even though these days I'm better at it than I used to be. But in my earlier days, I would miss things all the time because I would just get distracted or be focusing on one thing, or maybe I just get my face in the cheese. And so that's what we want to talk about today, is how do we keep some of the more important things, even though maybe they're not urgent things, but how do we keep some of the important things that aren't urgent from being pushed aside from some of the less important urgent things? And so we are going to talk about that. Before that, I want to talk about something that I call the values principle. And then we'll kind of jump in, and Mickey and I will have a conversation about doing stuff. But the values principle says we always do what we want. So every decision we make comes back to what we value in that moment. And so if you think about it, you know, values are what's most important to us and what we care most about. But so why do we sometimes just miss the boat on things that we think are important to us, but we just miss it, you know? And I think part of the answer to that is that we don't set our values very well. We don't set the things that are most important to us and hold them up. So sometimes there's things that really should be important to us in our lives that we don't hold as important. So we just don't value things as much as we should. And then the other part too is we don't manage our moments very well sometimes. Sometimes in the moment we make a decision that we want, but we're thinking about our present person instead of our future person, or we're thinking about our present person instead of the well-being of others or maybe our crew or that kind of thing. So we make kind of in the moment decisions. So today we want to talk about, Mickey and I want to talk about how we can compartmentalize our moments, how we can compartmentalize our time and make room or create space for things that are most important. And so not only is this creating space for things that are most important, but also how do we reduce space for things that are less important? And so Mickey and I were talking a little while ago before the call, and we both have some pretty good examples in our lives that we ways that we try to put boundaries in place and guardrails to kind of point us towards the most important things. So Mickey, why don't you give us an idea maybe of some of the things in your job and in your business that you believe is really, really important to you and that maybe you've struggled to come to?
Well, for me, just managing the influx of emails, managing promotions, because in my world, I've got 2 different DMAs that I'm dealing with. I've also got some idea with chambers of commerce in multiple cities. And so being able to manage all of that information that's coming in and that I need to get back out to my teams has been really important. And you used a good phrase. You said the guardrails, because I've had to put guardrails on myself. I allow and I plan for an hour every morning of reading better, reading in depth my emails. As emails come in from either my partners or an email comes from my employees or my area supervisors, I read those on the fly. So, you know, if I get an email from Richard at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm scanning that really quick and then saving it for later. I do an hour in the morning of responding to emails, and then I do an hour at night of responding to emails that have to be responded to, that I can't respond to or don't want to wait until the next morning. And I also include Facebook time in that, because I belong to, and my area supervisors belong to, community pages. So I want to make sure that nothing has happened on a community page that might call out a Papa Murphy's action, or maybe there's something going on in my community that I want to follow up on. I would say that I am very easily distracted by Facebook. If I allow myself more time on Facebook, I could be on there and it would take me to Pinterest, and then I'd be looking at recipes and I'd be looking at garden art and I'd be looking at how to grow cucumbers. And I mean, it just goes from one place to one place in my mind. I could go and go and go. So I have to put those time constraints in place. This morning, but I will say that I will jump to Facebook if there's something that has been posted by a franchisee and it pops up for me in my email. This morning, Lori had posted something on Facebook in the PMFA website, so I went to that specific post. So that's the only time I let myself wander to Facebook, because I could very easily do that. The other thing that I have become very, very faithful, and I carve out time, I set a reminder for, is every Thursday morning, I read the bulletin. If I haven't read it on Wednesday night when it comes, I read it on Thursday, because there's always something in there. Maybe it's the download of the Cressless artwork that's been posted on the FreshNet, or maybe it's a reminder about the POP coming and I need to, you know, my managers need to check that. The other thing that I've done, we have the new firewalls in all of our stores, so every one of our stores has access to the store level bulletin. And just recently, I know that there were owners who said, well, I don't want my managers to be reading the bulletin because it's got information in there that doesn't pertain to them. The bulletin that comes into the store and is accessible at the store level does not have owner information in it. And when I say owner information, it doesn't have sales reporting information and trends, and it also doesn't have stores for sale on it. So they're getting that store-based information if they have the bulletin coming into the store. So I think for my team, that's been really important, because it allows them, and they can't order anything from the marketing center, so it allows them, you know, the information that they need. They can go to portion charts. They can go to the training information, so that's good. My stores all have a store email, so they can get the bulletin. They can access Sigma and get their notifications from Sigma about credits. And then they also have OLO access. So I've made sure, and they can get emails from me, each one of my store staff, as far as the managers or assistant managers, all have store emails that they check at the beginning of the shift and at the end of their shift. So those are the things that I've carved out that time for, and that I've been faithful about reading the emails and reading the bulletins, and it's helped me a lot.
Yeah, I think carving out that time, that's a good phrase, because that's really what you need to do, because in order to really carve out time, for some of these things, you have to say no to other things. And in reality, there are just some things that we do as owners that are way, way more important than other things that we do as owners. Mm-hmm. And part of the key is identifying which ones those are. Because what happens too often is we get caught up in the less important things, and then the more important things kind of slip away, and we don't pay attention to them because maybe they're just not urgent. Maybe they're really important, but they're not urgent.
Yeah.
And so I think I think carving out time is a good phrase. So we do have to do that, but that's hard to do, of course, because when you got things coming at you, different issues and things coming at you, and problems to solve and things to do, you really have to have some self-discipline in a lot of ways.
Yeah, manage your time. You know, you, in the intro to this day's webinar, you made a very powerful statement for me that resonated with me when you said, have you ever been to a DMA meeting where there was somebody in the DMA meeting that didn't know what was going on or what was being discussed?
Right.
And I think we've all been there. You know, just recently, the PMI had put out the video that talked about, or the webinar that talked about upcoming promotions. And I know that not everybody watches those and sees those. And so often there is a huge disconnect when you get into a DMA meeting and people are not up to speed on what's going on. There's just so much going on in our business. You know, some of us who got up and read our email last week or the week before knew that the company had been sold. And Lori can tell you that we went to the DMA meeting and there were people in the room that didn't know that the company had been sold. And so those kind of, you know, and not that that was any crisis, but still a lot of us were talking about it and other people in the room were kind of looking at us like they had no idea what we were talking about.
Right. Yeah, that happens all the time. You know, for 15 years, I've experienced that in co-op meetings or mm-hmm. or whatever calls where people, and sometimes I've been that one, particularly early on.
I've been there too. Yeah, it used to be when I was with corporate, I used to be the last to know. Franchisees would know because they would find out something over the weekend and corporate people didn't know. But I think so much comes through now through the bulletin and also through some of the committee work and those emails directly from Weldon to franchisees, because he's not afraid to send us an email. I think if we aren't watching for it, we do miss out.
Yeah. You know, it's easy when, you know, your email dings, whether it's your phone or on your computer or whatever, and you see in your inbox that there's a message from PMI or from Weldon or from, you know, your marketing coach or whoever it is. And it's easy to tell yourself, oh, I'll look at this later. Okay. But what does later mean? What later does not define anything, and that's what I mean by managing our moments. And I think if you don't have that established up front, a place and a time when you're gonna actually look at that. So when is later? Mm-hmm. And so if you know you look at this, it pops up, and you look at it, and you know that tomorrow morning between 6:30 and 7, that's your time to look at emails, and you know that that's when I'm gonna look at it. You can click past that and not worry about it because you know you've got it covered. But if you have not defined what later means, that email could go into never land and you may never ever see it again.
Yeah, that's one of the cautions I give for my store managers if they're using Outlook or another email platform. I'm a big person on using rules in my Outlook. So I have certain emails that go right into a file because of a rule I set up in Outlook. And so my daily sales reports go into a daily sales report file because we all know they come every single morning. They'll fill up your box. All of my, different things. Ones from my kids go right into a file if it's, you know, little movies or videos or something like that. But it's very easy for that stuff to go in there, and then you don't open those. So you have to
right.
be careful of how many constraints you put on it too.
Yeah. I like using rules also. I use rules to forward information on to people.
Yeah.
If it's something that shouldn't just be shared with me, but should be shared with my managers, I can put that rule in place.
Yeah, before the bulletin was there, I always shared it with my area supervisors, and before the before there was some other access, I have two people that I shared the Maxwell minutes with, and I just talked to them both about signing up for themselves, and so they were doing that this weekend.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to get you on the John Maxwell team, Mickey.
Yeah, I know. You keep saying that.
Yeah.
I got to carve out time.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. What are some of the other things that you use for helping to run the business? Are you using NBO anywhere? Is anybody using it? Are you using Pulse? Are you using the Sigma access? What are you doing to help keep yourself up to speed on things?
Well, a lot of those things I don't use very often, but my area supervisor or office manager may use. I do use Pulse, and my area person and a couple senior store managers will use Pulse. And so, yeah, I try to stay on top of those things. One thing we use, and I've mentioned this on our calls before, that I like to use is Slack to communicate to my crew and to communicate internally. So a lot of times I will take information that I receive from PMI or from other owners or whatever the case is, that's marketing information, and I'll use Slack to distribute that to other people. And so for me, I'm the messenger. I'm the one who's just forwarding on to other people. And so I take that job pretty, because I am the doorway for a lot of things, and you are the doorway for a lot of things.
Yeah.
You get some things that no one else will get, and they won't get it unless you send it to them or unless you give that to them. So I think that is important. So for me, I put a lot of time and effort into planning and empowering and delegating.
Yeah.
And so I get to create a lot of space for different things, and then sometimes I have enough space, but then I don't, maybe I have too much space and I don't identify what I'm going to do with all that space. So I have to get kind of reorganized again. So for me, one thing I do is on Monday mornings, that's kind of my planning time. I'll just kind of use that as my think time. I'll think through the week. I'll prioritize what specific things I need to get done for the week, and I'll write those down, and I'll kind of open up my planner and plan out the week. And so for me, that's a really, really valuable time. So it's for me, getting a big picture is kind of the prerequisite to zooming into the little pictures. Because if I don't get the big picture first and see that and look at my calendar, my to-do list, and figure out what's coming up, then I'll miss out on little things because I'm missing it. You know, you can get your face in the cheese and get too wrapped up in all the details that you miss some of the other important details. And so for me, that zoom out time is really important.
You know, that's interesting. One of the things that I have not implemented is a Monday morning meeting. Let's just call it a Monday morning meeting. And I was speaking with one of my daughters early this morning. She was on her way to work. We talk almost every morning. We actually she and I have an everyday call, you know, of what our day looks like, what's going on. But she told me that they have a meeting every day at 9:30 because they're a large brokerage firm, and everybody in the team knows what's in the pipeline. And you just got me to thinking that maybe it would be good if I had an area supervisor call every Monday morning, not every morning, but every Monday morning to talk about what's in our pipeline. Cowboy on sale starts today. It's a weird day. We all thought it was going to start next week, but it starts today. The OLO offer comes off the calendar. It's not there today. So what is our secondary in-store offer? Well, it's our rustic veg. It's our trio item. And just recapping those kind of things, reminding each of us that we've got an FVR this week and whose FVR is next. I can see some real value in that, and that can help keep me on track also.
Yeah,
I'm stealing that one from you.
Yeah, no problem. It's not really mine. I stole it from someone else, you know. Actually, what do we know that someone else didn't know first?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In the chat box, Lori's asking what the Maxwell minutes are, and you're probably the best person to explain that.
Well, I don't usually actually look at them, but but the Maxwell minutes are basically John Maxwell takes like a minute or two each day and kind of puts his thoughts down on video of what he's thinking about. John Maxwell he's the guru of leadership, and so he writes every day. Mm-hmm. And so he'll sit down and he'll start writing for a couple of hours every single day, and it spurs his thought process, and he'll always have some wisdom that comes from his thinking time and his writing time. And so he just kind of started putting it on video and distributing it on a daily basis. It's not very long. Yeah, and it's free. You can go to basically any podcast or, you know, iTunes or anywhere and subscribe to it. And it can be sent right to your inbox every day. And it's not time consuming, and it's really simple. I would recommend it.
Because
it is helpful.
It keeps you mindful and it keeps you positive.
Right.
That's what I like about it most.
It's short and sweet and simple, and it gives you one thing to think about it each day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. That is good. So I think you hit the nail on the head with a lot of these things, just how we need to prioritize time to think about such things. And I think, so going to the other side of it too then. So obviously we've talked about how we need to make important things, squeeze them into our world. Mm-hmm. But how do we remove things that don't need to be there? I mean,
please
we need
tell
to,
me.
What's that?
I said, please tell me.
Okay. I'll tell you some of the things that I do. I think, first of all, we all need to be asking ourselves, what am I doing that I don't need to be doing? Is there something that I'm doing that someone else could be doing? You know, is there an area supervisor, or is there a general manager or an assistant manager, depending on how many stores you have, that you can delegate this to? Now, remember, delegation without empowerment is just dumping. So we don't want to dump things on other people, but we want to empower people so that they can share the load and be qualified to share the load. And so that might be is empowering and training your people and developing your people. Is that a priority? If it's not, then delegation to you might just be dumping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, don't dump, but delegate and empower. And when you do that, your load gets a little lighter. Now, as long as you've done it right. Now, if you're delegating and trying to empower incompetent people, then your load isn't going to get lighter. It's going to get heavier. But so I think if we set aside time to do that, to, you know, equip our people to be able to do things. You know, people are thirsty. They want to learn. They want to learn new things and do new things, and they want to be more valuable to your company. And I'm afraid that in this whole industry, franchisees, most franchisees are guilty of not taking advantage of that, not using people for what they're really capable of doing, whether it's maybe control issues. We just want to have control over things. We don't want to share things with people that because it's too sensitive, or maybe we just use it in the excuse of I don't have time.
Yeah, that's one thing I think that we are good about is sharing and bringing people along. We our area supervisors both attend Chamber of Commerce meetings, but we've opened that up for the most senior manager in that community to also attend and maybe trade off with the area supervisor. So one week it might be me, might be Jackie, it might be Sean. And we kind of rotate that on who's got the flexibility to go and the time. And then when somebody's on vacation, we ask what other store manager would like to help be the resource people and resource person and be the one who's on call to cover for that other store manager being on vacation. Doesn't mean they're going and running the other store. It means that they're available for phone calls from that other store, and then anything they don't feel that they can handle, they call an area supervisor or call me. So we've done a number of those kind of things. Any letter that I send out for local store marketing, I always make sure if it's going to a school, which is really what we do a lot of, I make sure that my store manager's name and phone number is listed first, that if they need something else or they want to talk to somebody about doing something, they reach out to my store manager, and then I say, or I can help you. So I really do try to push and elevate those people and get them to learn something new.
Right. Yeah.
I trust them in many cases, Joel. I trust these store managers with over $1 million in sales. I should be able to trust them with dealing with a school and dealing with a teacher or going
right.
to a Chamber of Commerce meeting.
Not only that, but they're at a place in their journey that they may be doing some things that they've never done before, but that's how every one of us grows. We were all there. You know, we don't learn how to do something until somebody says, hey, why don't you do this? I trust you to do this.
You know, the funniest line to me is always when somebody will say, well, I don't have any closers tonight. Well, your two late night people have them closed. Well, they've never closed before. Everybody never closed before at one point in time.
Right.
Give them the key and show them how to lock the front door. That's really all that has to be done, is the front door has to be locked. What if you left everything else? Oh, well, we'd just do it in the morning, you know. But you can teach somebody to close.
Oh, sure.
Everybody didn't do it the first time.
Right. Yeah, that's the value of cross-training, too.
Yeah.
Making sure everybody can do everything. So, yeah. So, yeah, I agree with all that. So, okay. Well, hey, let's. Why don't we open this up and see what other people might have to think about this, whether you want to contribute to the conversation and give us some best practices that maybe you do to keep yourself organized and keep yourself with a top business awareness, or if there's any questions or discussion. So I'm going to go ahead and open it up, and if anybody has any thoughts, please speak up.
Lori?
Actually, Lori's listed as muted, so I can't unmute her, but that's okay. Anybody have any thoughts? I want to know how you guys prioritize your most important things.
I was asking, I wanted to know how you use Slack or any other communication technology to, you know, filter or put information out to your managers or shift leads?
Well, for me, we started using Slack about 3 years ago, I think, and I've been doing this a lot longer than that. And prior to that, we were using emails, and emails are a little bit less personal. And we were also using text messages as well, but text messages aren't the best either, because it's you know, they don't get saved and there can be misunderstandings. But with Slack, it takes all of this and pulls it together. And so we just have channels. We've got a lot of different channels in our Slack for different purposes. Like we have a marketing channel. We have a store manager's channel. We have an operations channel. We have a leadership channel where we share articles of leadership. And then every store has their own channel, so they can kind of communicate within that channel. And so for us, this has been a great tool. It keeps people connected. For instance, if somebody needs to borrow some ground beef, they can put a message out on Slack to all of the store managers or to everybody on Slack, and they'll have two or three answers back within 30 seconds because it's that quick. You don't have to take the time to dial the number and call everybody. You just put a message out on Slack, and everybody responds to it, you know, or many people respond. Or new managers will have questions about things, and they'll put a message out on Slack. And I rarely have to answer questions from our new managers, because our senior store managers will chime in and kind of coach. And sometimes it means...
Who manages Slack? Who manages the infrastructure of Slack?
Well, Slack is an app that's on your phone. mm-hmm. or it's on your desktop, and it's a self-contained app. It doesn't need a lot of management. You just kind of, I mean, I'm the administrator or and my area supervisor. Okay. Yeah, and my area supervisor is the administrator as well. Mm-hmm. And so we can create channels. Like, not everybody else can create channels, but we create the channels.
Okay.
And then other people will have access to whatever channels they've been invited to. We have like a set number of channels that everybody that starts gets invited to. But then in addition to that, we'll invite new people to different channels. You know, crew people don't have to have access to all of the channels. Mm-hmm. There are public channels and there are also private channels. For instance, I have a channel that has just my executive team, which would be myself, my area supervisor, my office manager, and a couple of senior managers. And I can communicate, or we can communicate within that little group, more personal, private things about other people or issues that need to go on, and it can be contained where only us know about it because it's all private and kind of contained.
Okay.
And you can do personal private messages too. So it's a great way to really take a bigger team and pull it together. And we've got full participation with all of our managers and most of our assistant managers. So, okay. Yeah,
as I was typing an email this morning, I realized, man, I've gotten to a point where, you know, there's 30 people on my group email. And maybe having something like that on those Slack channels might be something that I take a look at, and having one of my area supervisors set that up.
Okay. Also,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Lori.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, emails are cumbersome because then people are responding back and forth and you have to go into email to get the message. And sometimes managers or shift leads especially aren't used to doing that. So then, you know, we've done text messages, which I think, Joel, like, I agree with you, that's not really the best method either. So I like this idea of Slack, and I feel like it's worth giving it a try. And you just, so when somebody, you just have people sign in or download the app and then put them on the different channels that you want them on. Is that how it works?
Yeah, pretty much. And Lori, and for you and anybody else on there that if you want, I'd be glad to send you an invite to our Slack.
Mm-hmm.
At least for a few days, so you can jump in and you can just kind of be a part of it and see how it works.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I can certainly do that. And I won't put you on all of the channels, but at least you'll be able to see how it works.
Yeah.
So,
yes,
if anybody else wants me to send an invite so that you can at least check it out, please let me know. So you can send me an email or let me know right now, either way. My email address is joelsmith123@yahoo.com.
You know, Joel, another thing that I have implemented that has been helpful is on Wednesdays I do one-on-one owner, individual owner meetings with my manager. And I don't do it every Wednesday, but it's basically a time on Wednesday where I can sit down. Usually my area supervisor will be with me, but where we can just sit with the manager rather than sending information out through email or a quick visit. And I've found it really helpful and feel more connected with my managers than I ever have. And I think they look forward to having that time with me.
Yep. Yeah, that's terrific, Lori. That's exactly right. And I believe everybody should be doing that. Thursdays are the days that I do that. So every Thursday I have at least two and sometimes three one-on-ones with managers. And I actually travel to their stores. I don't make them go anywhere. I go to them.
Yeah.
And so this way I get to have a one-on-one with all of my managers, my GMs, and there's about 12 people that I have one-on-ones with. And I just make that a really important thing. And because it is, it's really important to meet face-to-face and to have those talks and to just find out what's going on and or talk about important details of things, too, that goes way beyond what email or Slack or text could do.
Do you do that weekly, Joel?
I do that weekly, but unfortunately, I mean, I have enough people that I can't meet with everybody weekly, but I meet with everybody monthly. Okay. So for instance, every manager might be the, you know, each manager will be either the first, second, third, or fourth Thursday of the month. And so it's kind of on the, so that's all I do on Thursdays, really.
Mm-hmm. It's a great idea.
Yep. So, and I drive for it. I mean, I'll drive an hour and 45 minutes just to get to this one meeting if I ever need to.
Sure.
So, yeah, so I think that is important. That's, you know, there's information to get out, and sometimes you don't have to have a one-on-one just to share information, but you do need to connect with people, because if you don't connect with them, they're not going to care about the information that you send out.
Yeah, yep, yep.
Can you guys hear me?
I'm sorry?
Oh, you can hear me.
Yes.
Hi, this is Kim Fields from Central Illinois, and we use Facebook Message, which we found has worked really well. We have tried Slack in the past, and not that we didn't like it, it's just we found that all the people weren't downloading the app, and, you know, we... 9 times out of 10, they already have Facebook on their phone, and we can do group calls. We can do group video calls. Yeah, you can see who's seen what and who hasn't looked at their message. So that's another option to throw out there as well. You can create different chats and with different people. So if you like that as well.
Good suggestion.
I think there's a lot of apps out there that would work. Microsoft has a new one out. What is it? Teams or something? I don't remember, but it's kind of a new thing to compete with Slack as well. But yeah, Facebook works. I think a lot of maybe some of the people that we have on Slack aren't necessarily on Facebook. Might be some younger people. Facebook isn't really as popular with younger people as it is with older people. But yeah, a lot of people, even if they're younger, will have one. And so Facebook is a great option. Boy, a lot of social media apps could be a good option. But the reason I like Slack is it's just made for this.
My kids joke that when I joined Facebook, they dropped it.
Yeah.
Do you know if Talent Reef has anything like this in their system?
I haven't seen anything in Talent Reef that... anything communication-wise. I mean, there's information that you can enter into Talent Reef that you can have, you know, your main people have access to, whether it be about employees or, you know, and you can share different training things with it, I think. But I don't think they have like an instant communication module or anything like that. Not that I've seen. Although I've just started Talent Reef, so I'm still learning. So,
Lori, how do you manage all of your email?
Delete. Group delete.
Okay. I think we all feel like that some days because there's so much of it.
Yeah, I tried setting up the Gmail so that all of the daily store reports would go into a file. I haven't got it set up, so that's not really working for me. Mm-hmm. I use the unread message, so I read it and then I hit unread, so it stays in my inbox.
Oh.
And, you know, I do have something set up where if I don't respond in 5 days, it'll pop back up. And that is helpful. And I, you know, it's a lot of shit coming through. You know, it's a lot of stuff. It's better than it was, actually. I have found the bulletin and the communication from the support center so much better than it was a couple years ago, where I literally, 2 years ago, I could not keep up and didn't know what messages were coming from who. But I find that has improved and has been helpful that also it gives access. Because I got confused a couple of years ago about what was I supposed to send out and was it going to them directly and who's getting it. And, you know, then I would start to copy and paste certain messages from, you know, PMI to go to our managers. And anyway, it got, I find it is much better now, and that's been helpful.
Yeah, yep. I agree.
I have a couple thoughts on email management. I'm pretty good at email management. I've kind of learned a lot of techniques over the years. So some of the biggest things I would say would be, number one, any spam or junk that comes to your email that you don't want there, don't just put up with it day after day after day, but actually go in and delete it. Go unsubscribe as often as you can. Unsubscribe. Keep that inbox empty of weeds. It's just like a garden. Pull your weeds. You know, get rid of that junk so that it's not too overwhelming. A lot of people just have so many advertisements from, come into their inbox. So get rid of all of that stuff. And if you're going to subscribe to stuff like that, use a different email. Then the other thing, and I think, Mickey alluded to it, use folders. Things that are worthy of saving, move them into folders. Don't use your inbox as a place to save emails. The other technique that a lot of people will use, and I use this somewhat, more like on a weekly rather than a daily basis, but keep your inbox as empty as you can. If you're going to use it later and it's important, put it in a folder. If you're not, delete it. Mm-hmm. And that way you can be sure you haven't missed things. You can use your unread option, change things to unread so that it will, or you can flag things or mark them. But use folders on the side. And then, like Mickey talked about, figure out a time every day, maybe once or twice a day, that you're going to check your email and spend a little bit of time, whether it be 10 minutes or 15 minutes on your email or whatever it is. And then block off the majority of your day where you're just not worried about it, you're not even focusing on it. I think that's a big thing. Yeah. When emails become distractions on everything else, that's when a problem starts. But if all of your people know that, hey, if you send an email to me, I'm not going to reply right away. I'm going to reply at 9 in the morning or 4:30 at night or in the afternoon or whatever, they'll get it. They'll understand. And if they need something more spontaneous, then there's a different method that they can use to get a hold of you, whether it be text messaging or whatever. So I think those are some important things, is keep your inbox as free from junk as you can. And keep it empty and move things into priorities. And maybe with the folder, you can have an action folder that something that your action folder is your top priority, and that's what you're going to do today.
Joel, I regularly, over my course of years with franchisees and the PMI level, people would say, well, I just don't know how to do any of that. And simply go into your email box, and somewhere in the top of your email box, whether you have Gmail or Outlook or one of the other, or iCloud, there's a little magnifying glass with a help box. And just type in, how do I manage my email? And there's going to be helpful tricks and tips on how to do that, whether it's making folders or just managing by names or managing by flags, whatever the title is, just simply put that into the question there in your email provider information in your email that comes in, and you'll be able to find a lot of help.
Yep, I agree. Anybody else have any thoughts on business awareness? I'm sorry?
I always carve out this time with you. This is always helpful for me, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Every time.
Anybody else have any ideas about business awareness? Okay. Well, I guess we can officially kind of put this. This chapter to bed, and we can kind of put an end to it. Maybe Mickey and I can hang out for a few more minutes in case anybody else wants to jump in. But otherwise, thank you very much, everybody, for being on the call. I hope it was helpful.
The one thing I would add, just for our information, if Joel doesn't know your phone number, if you could shoot him a quick email or text to his email, letting him know what your primary phone number is when you call in. That helps him keep track of who's, who we're helping or who's interested in the calls. And, that's just helpful for us.
Yep. Also, just as general feedback, we would love to hear your feedback on maybe discussions that we have that you, that really clicked with you, or maybe discussions that didn't click with you, or maybe what you would like to learn about going forward that we could spend some time on, or if there's anything that you would like to actually participate and share on any particular call, we would love to hear that. So, you know, we're here for you. We want to help our franchisees get stronger and become better. And so the more we know about what your needs are, the better we can do that. So anyway, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Mickey.
Thank you, Joel.
We'll hang out for a few more minutes and have a great post-Easter week.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
Okay, this is Shannon. I have some questions and some struggles
Shannon, that I am dealing with right now.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, it's good to hear you too, Mickey. Okay, so I am in the process of growing rapidly, like doubling the number of my stores. And so I've got 6 stores right now, and I am going up to 14 here within the next few months.
Oh, wow.
So I am one that, you know, I've done my slow growth, and I've handled everything. And I'm to the point now that I am going to be so big that I can't hit all my stores all the time.
Right now,
every week, I'm on the road 4 days a week. I'm in my stores. I set Fridays apart for myself because it's too busy for me to be in and have a meeting with my manager. So Friday is my day that I kind of get myself lined up for the next week. So, anyways, I'm to the point where I need to figure out where that infrastructure breaks down. I can't do 14 stores. I can't do 6 stores well. So when is it that it's like it's just me and then I have store managers? When is it that you bring in someone else to help that is that secondary person? Or how many do you bring in? Or do I section off my stores? Because you have to remember I'm spread all the way through Central Washington.
Right.
It's not like I'm in a condensed area where I've got my stores. I am on the road for hours to get to my stores.
Well, hey, Shannon, I have a couple questions for you, just for clarification. So out of your 6 stores now, are your 6 stores, are they profitable?
Yes.
Okay. And the other stores, 8 stores, I guess, that you're going to take on, are those profitable?
Yes.
Okay. So we're not dealing with a serious cash flow issue at this point, right?
Well, we will be. Once we buy these other stores, it's a humongous, scary, scary number.
Okay.
So we are going to be really tight. So I think it's going to fall on my shoulders to do that. And a little bit more clarification, there are 3 different owner groups that I'm working with. I'm all part of that. Like one part is my parents that I've been working for with them for 22 years now. One is my personal little store, which I hardly spend any time in there because it's kind of just back in the back corner. And then I've got this other group that we're starting to grow, which I'm part owner in.
How many stores in each group?
There are 4 in one group, 1 in the other group, and then the other group will now be 9.
9, okay. Well, so your first question was, when is it time to get help? And I would say that's last year. I think 6 stores, that's a lot for one person. And if you're going to be moving to 14, I would guess you probably need to have at least one other kind of an area supervisor, if not 2 in that. That's what I would recommend. It's going to look like an expensive cost. But when you really dig into it and you find out what it costs not to have other people in place, it's extremely high. I mean, you can just having people in place. I've got 8 stores and I've got basically 2 people doing it with even 8 stores. But I'll tell you, we've just had this past year has been the best year that we've had for labor control and food cost control. And I'll tell you, just those savings versus what we've done in the past. And years where we didn't do that as well has paid for the area supervisor. And so
we're in the same exact situation, Joel. Four stores for each area supervisor, and their job is to maintain food costs, labor costs, and they do it, and they do it better than I could have done it by stamping out fires here and there.
Yep, and that's how they pay for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's how they keep your face out of the cheese, too, because you have far too many, you know, too many things to do than to be chopping dough every day and putting out fires. And so if you say, and I'm just going to be brutally frank here, but so if you say that we're going to buy these stores and I'm afraid that all of this is going to come down onto my shoulders, then I would say that's a really bad business plan. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't buy those. Go ahead.
The group that we are buying, there is a gal there that kind of oversees and runs everything. There is also another man there that I think does mostly maintenance and kind of upkeep on the buildings, but mm-hmm. he's only going to stay for 1 year. So I do think I have 1 year to kind of figure out my game plan. But just in the whole realm of I'm taking care of food costs, I'm analyzing numbers, I'm trying to read the bulletin, I'm trying to do all of this. And then now what I'm struggling with is now that we're not getting, like, laminated information sent directly to the stores on, for example, the Taco Grande or, you know, this sort of stuff, I'm finding that I'm having to print them out, laminate them, deliver them. So there's just an added, you know, section into my day life.
Shannon, one of the first things I would do, I got to ask you one other question. Has PMI bought off or, you know, signed off on all of your purchases? Are you for sure all of these purchases are happening? And when is it all done?
It is in the process right now. So, okay. And it'll be in July.
Okay. If I were you, one of the first things I would do is I would request that any of the business leaders or the market business leaders, so Bonnie. Whoever the other people are that are overseeing those stores for me from PMI, that you set up a meeting with them and you say to them, I need your help. Here's what I'm doing. How with all of your wisdom of seeing all the other stores in your markets, what things can you tell me that I can do to take all of these little things off of my shoulders? What are the other best practices that a lot of these other franchisees are doing them, and how do I structure that? I need that information now. And Bonnie's going to be able to tell you what Don Kopp does, and she's going to be able to tell you what what Glenn Sutt did and what the Moldahills do. And she's going to have that insight. And is there another Bonnie that's going to be in your world? Who's the other person?
Nope, it'll be Bonnie.
Okay, she's going to have all of them?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay.
Yes.
She's going to,
yes.
You and Bonnie need to carve out a day. And you're going to show her your to-do list. And she's going to be able to tell you who in your organizations could take some of those things off of your plate. Because that's one of the first things I did. I actually was the Bonnie for the stores that I bought. And so
yes.
I started going through Richard's to-do list, and it was exactly what you said about laminating those sheets. Okay, well, I still do some of that, but also my area supervisor, I bought one of the girls a laminator and the supplies, and now she laminates all of those. I have one store assistant manager who sends out all of the specials to every single one of the stores, so we have a little cheat sheet at every phone. And so she makes that. She faxes it or emails it to every single store, and they get it about 4 days before the special changes. Now, every one of my stores has access to the bulletin. I make sure that one of the area supervisors sends out the digital calendar to every single store. So I really offloaded that to assistant managers, store managers, and we have one area supervisor for each four stores. And Joel, go take it from there.
Yeah.
Get Bonnie, schedule a whole 24 hours with Bonnie, Shannon.
Yeah, those are good suggestions. You definitely need help. You probably need somebody to help you on a regular basis, just with some mentoring or coaching as well, that maybe kind of knows about that stuff.
I'd say set up a call with Joel every week.
Yeah. So, and one thing I do, Shannon, is I'm also a leadership coach. So I do meet with other business owners and help coach them in different areas. It just so happens that I'm a Papa Murphy's owner, so this is more in my wheelhouse than some of the other people that I coach. So I'd be glad to speak with you about that, about the possibility of that. But going back to kind of what we originally talked about, as far as that game plan. So I would just say, don't go into it with a bad game plan. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't buy those nine stores, but instead of having the thought that I'm going to go into this and all of this is going to fall on my shoulders, go into it with a whole different perspective. Is I'm going to go into this, and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to hire people. I'm going to make infrastructure the most important thing, because I am not going to have this fall on my shoulders. And if you go into it with that perspective and a whatever it takes perspective, and and maybe you need to get, the other owners on board, but you're going to have to insist on this. If other people are saying, hey, we're too cheap, we can't afford to have an area supervisor, I would say, hey, look, if you want me to do this, I'm going to have an area supervisor, and I'm probably going to have two. And so you're going to have to, yeah, or three or whatever. But you're going to need to insist on that, because there's just no shortcuts to this. You cannot and you will not survive if you don't get help. And you
if
need
I'm
to take
trying
it.
Trying to do it all on my own. Yeah.
Yeah. You absolutely have to take that seriously, and you have to make it a priority. Because you're not Superwoman.
You're damn close, Shannon.
I'm pretty close. I try, but
you are.
Last year, I will tell you, I finally made the decision that I am not going to go in. I'm not going to make dough. I'm not going to do cheese. I'm not sheeting. I'm not making pizzas anymore.
Right.
So that was a big transition, because, of course, my number one thing I love is being in the stores and interacting with my customers. And so now I'm feeling a little bit of a disconnect emotionally, because I'm not, and I'm kind of having a hard time with it, because that's what I love about the business. And now I feel like I'm just dealing with management and getting information out. And so I'm not in the stores on the level that I was great. And so I'm feeling a little disconnect. I'm almost having kind of an emotional little breakdown, because I'm missing my customers. Because by the time I'm on the road and down there and just talking and sharing and going over cost goods and helping with the schedule and spending that time with my manager for the week, then I need to get home, and it ends up being 10, 11 hours a day. So that's kind of why I take Friday to kind of decompress. But it has opened up my weekends, so I do have a life now on the weekends. But I've just taken that part away from it. So I'm slowly taking stuff away to where I can manage. And absolutely, my email is just a disaster. I have files. Yep. I can't even find half the stuff that I want. Yeah. I can't, I spend more time just on Friday morning. I'll be sitting at my computer until 1 o'clock just trying to get organized and figure everything out.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's three different DMAs also. So
right.
Then there's co-op
and
there's
this,
and then there's instruction.
Having the multiple DMAs is really a challenge in maintaining your stuff, and that's really hard if you have somebody help you with that. I helped my daughter-in-law real recently go through and organize her email. It took a separate person, being me, to help her, because she could not see her way through the 2,000 unopened email. You know, you sit and you start doing that for yourself, and sometimes, you get lost, because it does, like with me, it trails to other things. But having somebody else look at your email and help you weed through emails can help you bridge and start fresh. And so if you've got somebody you can trust Shannon, I would have them help you organize your email, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but it could change your life. Just
That's it, too. I start getting into my emails, and I've got 300 of them for the week. And then I'm reading something, and I'm like, I don't even know what this is pertaining to, so I almost have to start at the oldest and go through and so that I can figure out what it's talking about. So I just have my own personal struggles. I'm excited for this, but I know I need to get a game plan. And the family is participating. My kids, they're running stores. My management team is really solid. But you know that I still need that personal interaction with my managers. But I think when I'm taking on these next stores, I don't know if I want to be that. You know, I don't even know my employees' names because there's over 100 employees.
Right.
I just know my top people.
It takes some balancing. Even myself with only 8, Shannon, I have moved to where my area supervisors do the orientations for every new employee, and they send me the file. We set up where they can scan in the stores, and all of that information goes directly to our payroll office, and then I'm copied on it. So I can look at the employee's application. I can look at, what store they're in, anything that was on their resume. If they had a resume, it all gets attached, and I'm copied on that. But I don't have to go and do the orientations. That way, when I go into a store, I pull up that file in my email, and I go, oh, Sandra works in Junction City, and so I'm going out to Junction City today. I'm going to look for Sandra. And I'm going to say to Sandra, I see that you were on the volleyball team. It gives me a little bit of a connection. I always wear a name tag when I go into my stores. Even if it's if I'm in street clothing, I try to remember to put my name tag on. I've got it in my car, and it says owner on it. That way I can always introduce myself and give them an elbow bump and say, hi, I don't want you to shake hands because you got your hands all gloved up, but I'm Mickey, and they probably told you about me, and it's nice to see you, and I understand you do volleyball, and I look forward to hearing about your volleyball season when it comes around, or something like that, you know?
See, and I think that's a secondary question. I mean, each of my stores, where does the paperwork go? Where, you know, the stores aren't designed to hold all of this paperwork. Where do the files go? Do you have, like, I don't even have an office.
I'm in a bedroom. That's a problem. You need an office. Who does your payroll?
I have paychecks. Do payroll.
Okay. Well, we have a bookkeeper in our office that does payroll, and our office is a shared office between my partner's other companies. And so we have some people there, and we have somebody who manages mail and looks at the mail and decides whether it's junk, and then we have a bookkeeper. And you're right. There needs to be a place, a repository for files outside of the store. In the store, we keep a file for each employee that, like, any training materials go into. That's all that we keep at the store. But at our other office, we have a file for every single employee. And somebody has to manage those because you got to make sure that the I-9s are correct. And you pull out old I-9s when they expire after so many years, and doctor's notes, you can't keep those in the stores. They have to go in employee files. And Shannon, your family has benefited from having you do everything, and you've got to have somebody helping you just also on that level of managing your paper.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so overwhelming.
Yeah.
Shannon, I have a perspective for you maybe to think about. You talked about how you really enjoy being in the stores and how making that connection with your customers and your crew level people. If you're going to make this work with 14 stores, you're going to have to change your perspective to your customers now need to be your leaders. And those are the people you're going to have to serve. And you're going to have to put your attention on those people instead of your actual customers. You know, Chick-fil-A was founded on that principle. You know, Truett Cathy always said that his customers were his employees. And that's true. If you look at, you know, if you look at the upside down triangle model of leadership, if you serve your best managers, your top managers, well, they'll serve your assistant managers and crew leaders, and they'll serve your crew people, and your crew people, if they're being served right, they will serve your customers. And so I think your job is no longer to serve your customers. Your job going forward is to serve your leaders. You know, out of 10, you know, you could take, you know, out of 100 people in your company, you're going to have 10 or 15 of those people that are most important. You're going to have to figure out how to serve those 10 or 15 people and not worry about the ones on the bottom of the totem pole, because that can't be your job anymore. You're going to have to do that. And you're going to have to figure out how to replace yourself. See, if you're an area supervisor now, you can't be an owner. You know, you have to protect your ownership hat. You have to be able to wear your ownership hat, and you can't do that if you're an area supervisor. So I think you need to get two people in place that can be area supervisors, that can focus on training managers and making sure store operations is right and worrying about food costs and labor costs. And I think you're going to have to retire from those positions as soon as you can so that you can oversee those people. I think that's the way you're going to survive this and learn to thrive. But you're going to have to commit to that and not try to dip your toe in the water and ease into it. You're going to have to just decide, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get there. And
when you say you're going to have to decide that you're just going to do it, that means you're going to have to put aside everything for maybe 2 weeks straight to get that infrastructure in place. If these stores that you already have don't have access to the bulletin, you need to get that going with Store Solutions. If you don't have the new TrustWave firewalls in there so you can get the bulletins, you got to get it in there, and that takes some time. You've got to work with Bonnie to help you do that. And you've got to
figure out that's all in place.
For your bookkeeping to get done. You know, you probably haven't had time to do all that stuff.
I do have the TrustWave. The TrustWave stuff is done. I just got my managers onto the bulletin. Whether they read it or not, I don't know. But that's something that I'm going to have to start asking. So there are some certain things. I even wasted a bunch of money and tried to do it's a tablet in each store where they've got their checklists and they take a picture of the deposit and it prints out their labels and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, half the stores are using it, half are not, so I'm going to cancel that. But
if you have an area supervisor, they're going to be able to follow up with the people who aren't using it on why, and maybe it just needs enhancing.
Right.
Shannon, we use something called a Red Book in our company, and I've talked about it on our calls before, but if you want to, let me give you my phone number, and maybe you and I could talk apart from this.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of ideas for you. But my number is 319-930-1045.
Okay.
Why don't you give me a call and we can talk, about this stuff on the side. But there are different systems that you can use, and there's a lot of options that could help you get on track much more quickly than just struggling through it and trying to reinvent the wheel.
Joel, I've got to get off. I've got to go volunteer at an elementary school here in just a little bit.
Hey, that's a good thing to do.
It is fun.
Have a good week.
Okay. Well, thank you for having this conversation. Great to talk to you again, Mickey. You're so sweet. And
you are too.
We'll see you at convention.
Yes, we will. But reach out to Bonnie and Joel.
Okay, I will do that. And Joel, thank you so much.
No problem. Yep. Get a hold of me whenever you'd like. I'm available. Mondays are great days. I'm available this afternoon if you want to talk or whatever it might be.
Okay, sounds good. Hey. Well, I'm going to hit stores this afternoon, so I'll try to get in touch with you next Monday, okay?
All right. Thanks.
Great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.